We continue to be live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio. Hurricane Michael, now a tropical storm on the move in the Carolinas, now soaking the place that doesn't need to be soaked. FEMA, though, starting recovery efforts in Florida. Speaking with ABC yesterday, Agency Administrator Brock Long discussing preparations for the storm.
We pre-positioned search and rescue teams to be able to move in as quickly as we can once the elements of the storm have passed through.
All right. Despite this optimism, FEMA continues to operate with large numbers of senior positions vacant or without permanent staff. You might not have known that. Going to learn more about it from Bloomberg News climate and adaptation reporter Christopher Flavelle joining us in our Bloomberg 99.1 studios here in Washington, D.C. And Chris, you write that, 22 leadership roles. This isn't just, you know, the rank and file. These are senior leadership positions at FEMA that remain vacant or in a sort of a temporary kind of at-large status. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, this doesn't get much attention, but I think what's happening is the agency, like other federal agencies, has been slow to hire or to appoint senior staff. Some positions are vacant. Others are filled by what they call people in an acting capacity. And when I spoke with union officials and experts and former senior staff at FEMA, they all say that this takes a toll. It makes it harder for the agency to make good policy, to make quick decisions, and to do the best they can in what is obviously a challenging hurricane season.
So then, Chris, is the holdup on the administration's end rather than on Congress's or somewhere else?
Yeah, a bit in the weeds. Only the most senior agency positions require Senate confirmation. There is one person, a deputy administrator, who has been nominated by the president and has not gotten approval from the Congress. Brock Long yesterday made that point. He said it'd be nice to have a deputy in a hurricane season.
Yes, I'm sure.
Yeah, one would think so. There are other spots, though, where the issue is not with Congress, but I'm told it's just a function of the White House and FEMA together needing to find the right people, get the people into these jobs. One could argue that FEMA has just had a lot going on. But I think another way of looking at it is that for whatever reason, it doesn't seem to have been a priority for them to get these spots filled.
Okay, so how much of a disadvantage does FEMA face during emergencies? Do you have a for instance?
You know, I think it's hard to point to any one thing that isn't going well, especially since by their nature, they're responding to somewhat unpredictable and disastrous situations. What I'm told, though, is that if you want to sort of tilt the agency forward and have people inside the building who are saying, how can we do this better? People whose job is to improve the way they operate. You want somebody who has the backing of a permanent appointment to that position. And so having people who are career staff in an acting role means things don't change necessarily as fast as they should.
Is this likely to be solved quickly or will it take a long time?
You know, they've been, again, an agency facing a lot of pressure in terms of record disasters. Shortly after Brock Long took over the top of FEMA, we had Hurricane Harvey last year and then a string of hurricanes. So I think one could say that what they probably need is a break where they can focus on these longer term issues. It's unclear to me from my reporting how much of this is inside FEMA and how much is a function of the White House perhaps not helping as much as they could in terms of selecting those senior staff and getting them into these jobs. I think FEMA has such a huge job right now. There's probably a lot of things they have to focus on. There was a new bill passed by Congress, which exerts fundamental change in how FEMA prepares for disasters. So a lot of movements. I think by all accounts, the stresses are growing. The need is growing. So I think stuff will change. The question is going to be to what degree is that change happening in sort of a thoughtful, orderly way versus just responding to the latest catastrophe.
Okay, really quick before we shift over to the red tide, that's a fascinating story, but I got to ask this question about the broader trend. You write on the Bloomberg Terminal, this does reflect a broader trend within the Trump administration. So it's not just FEMA. You are seeing this throughout the federal government or at least in the executive branch.
That's right. The data that I've seen shows that FEMA is, again, not alone here. At most agencies, you've got a significant share of senior positions where you need Senate confirmation, and that hasn't happened. Either somebody hasn't been nominated or they haven't gotten a vote yet. And that happens in every administration. What's different here is we're almost 2 years in, and usually these spots get filled by now.
Now let's change gears and talk about your fascinating story about that toxic red tide. Tell us about that and how, coupled with the hurricane, it could sicken people.
Yeah, this is an unsettling story. For months now, Florida has been dealing with this quote-unquote red tide, which is an algae problem. There's a naturally occurring algae in the Gulf of Mexico. It can be blown in or moved in by currents to the coast, and it can sicken people because it lets off a toxin that can cause asthma attacks in people who have asthma and even some unpleasant symptoms in those who don't have asthma. The problem is with the hurricane, we've never been through a major hurricane pushing this stuff inland, and it could potentially move these toxins into communities and cause this sickness and these really uncomfortable symptoms even in people who aren't exposed to the water. Now, we might not know for some time where this happened, but one more interesting example of how climate change can cause all kinds of new problems and combinations of problems that we hadn't seen, hadn't thought of, and probably aren't quite ready for.
You know, I very foolishly thought that Hurricane Michael would wash that red tide nonsense away, maybe suck it back out to sea. No, it's winding up in people's living rooms. Am I right?
So, again, adding to the confusion, that's also, I'm told from the specialists I talked to, an equally plausible outcome that it could, in addition to blowing this toxin inland, it can also disperse some of these concentrations of red tide around the water. So in the long term and medium term, it could make things better by moving this stuff away from the coast. But in the short term, there's still that risk that it can cause harm to people who are in its way on the shore. So another thing where you just don't know because this has never really happened before.
And Chris, is there anything that experts can do about that? About what's happening right now?
You know, I asked FEMA if they had plans for it. They didn't get back to me. I think with so much going on with the hurricane, this maybe doesn't rank in the top two or three risks. I think storm surge and wind damage is more concerning. So I wonder if sort of as people look at what happened with Hurricane Michael, they might say among the other challenges, this is a chance to study this red tide thing and see if it happens again. Should we take other precautions or find ways to limit the health effects from this still further problem that we've never had before?
Right, because they can't even get into these affected areas yet. I mean, parts of the Florida Panhandle are still completely shut off, so
That's right.
Can't check on what is coming into shore, much less what might be blown out to sea.
A lot of answered questions right now. A lot to find out.
All right, and we're going to follow it with you, Chris Flavelle, covering climate and adaptation for Bloomberg News, keeping us up to speed on everything that's going on, not just with what's happening with FEMA. Oh, very briefly, Chris, do you see anybody getting confirmed for FEMA anytime in the near future, just not a priority?
It's hard to guess.
I don't want you to guess, sir. I only want you to tell me what you know.
I don't think we know.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Michael has been downgraded to a tropical storm, but in less than a day, the third most powerful storm to hit the U.S. in recorded history has left a wide path of destruction. Speaking at a campaign rally in Pennsylvania last night, President Trump discussed the government response to the storm.
We will spare no effort, no expense, no resource to help these great fellow citizens of ours that are going through a tough time right now.
Brian Sullivan is a Bloomberg News weather reporter. He joins us now from our Bloomberg 1061 studios in Boston. And Brian, what is the status of Michael right now?
Right now, it has winds of about 50 miles an hour, which makes it a tropical storm, and it's kind of kicking around western central North Carolina. It'll drift out over the Atlantic overnight tonight, and then it is off to Europe.
And after that, what are the headaches that it will leave behind?
Well, a new damage estimate came out today that they say it will be economic and physical losses of about $25 billion, which will put it in the top 15. Maybe it'll give it a run for the top 10 worst storms, costliest storms in U.S. history.
But not a whole lot of fatalities or casualties in this storm.
Yeah, not yet. I mean, I haven't seen anything too drastic, considering that a lot of folks decided to ride it out. And when you see those pictures of what happened down there, where just, you know, blocks are you know, crushed and trees are on houses, it's kind of amazing that the death toll right now stands at about two.
And in Florence, as I recall, there was something like, it was more than 30.
Yeah, there was more than 30. I think it was closer to 39, 36, yeah. Somewhere in there. Yeah. So, I mean.
Thank goodness. This is not as bad.
It isn't as bad. I think part of that is just it's moving faster. Maybe people did bunker down before it came in.
It's hard to believe, though, that there are only two casualties here. Florida emergency officials, I heard saying that the devastation is just so massive and that they really haven't gotten in to all the areas yet, that it remains unclear if people who ignored the evacuation orders were killed.
With some of these storms, unfortunately, you know, 2 or 3 days after the event, when people start going through the wreckage, then you see a jump in the death toll. So, you know, the fact that it's two, if that's all it is, then we should count ourselves lucky. But there's a potential that it could get much higher than that. Yeah.
About 300,000 homes and businesses in three states have lost power, according to the Energy Department. So how long will it take to get the power back on?
Again, it could be weeks at least for some of those folks. There's so many trees down all over that area. That's a heavily wooded area. So, you know, you're going to have to move the trees first, get the trucks in, and then, you know, cut them up again. And I think it's going to take some time, Peter.
And do we know yet what kind of damage there might be in the Carolinas? Because this is an area that was hit by Hurricane Florence. The rivers had not yet returned to their banks, and now they are getting heavy rain.
They are getting heavy rain. The rivers are going right back up again. Not to the levels they were at Florence, thank goodness, but they are going up. Damage estimates out of the Carolinas aren't quite as clear yet as what happened in Florida, but a lot of folks think simply because it's moving so fast, it will not have the chance to do the kind of damage Florence did.
How much rainfall is expected?
They got about 8 inches of rain in Georgia, and they'll probably get, you know, 6 to 8 inches across the Carolinas into southern Virginia.
Now, what about some of the questions that this leaves in terms of how it will skew the data, for example, that we get from retail sales and that sort of thing? Could this really mess up the data for some time to come?
I'm not sure how long it will mess up the data, but it certainly will have an impact on retail directly in the short term. And a lot of times these storms actually turn into a silver lining for places like Lowe's or Home Depot, simply because people need the materials to rebuild and get things back together again. They need spare parts. So this can actually be a boost for some sectors.
So Michael is on the way to Europe in the next day or two. Is there anything coming in behind Michael, any storms forming now out in the ocean?
There's a couple storms already. They're still out there. They're not doing much. They're kind of rotating in circles, and we don't have anything to worry about from them. There's nothing that anyone's talking about on the direct immediate horizon. And we are kind of getting into that period of mid to late October where things will start winding down. You know, the caveat, of course, is that Sandy did come in at the end of October, so we're not out of the woods yet.
And very quickly, because we're sort of putting this one in the record books, tell us where this stands with all the other storms.
So from a barometric pressure standpoint, it was ranked number 3 of all time, the hurricane of Labor Day 1935, and Camille, which is a name that kind of lives in infamy, are the only two that beat it. And then from winds, it ranks about number 4.
And the winds were just short of a Cat 5.
Yeah, 155 miles an hour. And, you know, the Hurricane Center is going to reanalyze all the data. So, you know, that may go up and that may go down in about 5 months or so.
Brian Sullivan, Bloomberg News weather reporter, thank you for that update.